From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I am Stacy Ann. So good to be with you on this marvelous Monday, already the 19th of April. Can you hardly believe it? I know I certainly cannot. And I'm so glad to be hanging out with you. And I have to tell you what an incredible weekend I experienced. It was so fun to hang out with all of the life-loving patriots on Saturday. There was an incredible crowd on Saturday that came out together to celebrate life. And it was fun to see all of the families and see so many of you and interact with so many of you. I put pictures up on our Facebook page, which you can see at KSLM Radio. And the weather cooperated, and it just was incredible. And it's always fun when we gather together and be with one another. And thanks so much for doing that. And then yesterday, I celebrated a wonderful kind of a break at the coast. It was interesting. We had breakfast. We had heard that there's really good chicken fried steak in Tangent, Oregon. If you've ever heard of Tangent, Oregon, that's where we went and had a chicken fried steak. It was absolutely phenomenal. And then we ventured through the town of Alsea because I wanted to show Terry how cute and quaint Alsea is. We stopped there to see Deb. She was off for the day, but we did taste her wonderful pie. And then we ventured on over to the coast. And it was interesting because it was clear and sunny, but we got to the coast and it was cloudy and fogged in. And it was about 20 degrees cooler than it was in Salem yesterday, but we had a wonderful time. We camped out on the beach, had a little fire, just chilled, listened to the ocean, watched the families with their dogs, and it was a very well-needed, a good medicine for the soul kind of day. And now I'm refreshed, ready to get back and be here with you today and getting on with important business of the day and some news that I want to share with you, continuing to watch what's happening over the weekend in such a contrast. I want to kind of lay out the contrast of my experience and my day meeting treasures and everyday Oregonians and their small businesses and the community. It's so important that we stand with these businesses that have rode the waves, right? The highs and lows of this last year, the opens, the closures, the this and that, you know, doing what they need to do to stay open and serve and do their craft well, right? And yet all this stuff that's coming their way. And this weekend was a tough weekend for our friends in Portland. And coming out of the Northwest Observer, when you go to northwestobserver.com, there's a story and it says, hostile crowd attacks Portland police. Another attempt to burn down the police precinct. On Saturday, April 17th at about 10 p.m., a group of about 70 people formed in front of the Portland Police East Precinct, 737 Southeast 107th Avenue. The group began moving into the street, blocking traffic. Many in the group wore helmets, body armor, and heavy backpacks, which was consistent with the characteristics of those intent on criminal behavior. Some individuals began to roll large dumpsters from a nearby school into the street toward the precinct. Because dumpsters have been used many times as vessels to start fires, the Unified Command of the Portland Police Bureau and Portland Fire and Rescue determined it was likely that this group intent was the same. East Precinct is part of the city's critical public safety infrastructure and a working precinct 24 hours a day. The crowd was warned by loudspeaker not to restrict access to the precinct, not to start fires or block traffic. Despite the warnings, one dumpster was pushed up close to the front door and another near the garage door. Due to criminal activity and clear intent to block access to the precinct, the group was advised by loudspeaker that it had become unlawful assembly and they were directed to leave to the north. They did not comply, so the officers moved in. The group moved away as instructed. The officers discovered that one of the dumpsters smelled of smoke and had not caught fire. A collapsible baton and some other gear was dropped when they ran away. The city of Portland downtown businesses are totaling up the most recent damage from rioting, arson, theft, and vandalism. Reports are being compiled and there's no cost estimate, but it appears to be significant damage. Again, for our friends in the Portland area and their businesses, Friends, we just got to keep, we got to keep in prayer, and we got to keep in mind that these things are happening not very far away from us. And as I think about all of the Oregonians that I have had an opportunity to meet over this last year who operate businesses and all that they're doing to keep us safe, right, and keep their craft and keep doing what they're doing, it's so important that we keep them in support, keep them in our thoughts and prayers, and do what we can do with our local elected leaders to say we've got their backs and we want to do this. We want to do day-to-day life as normal as possible. And we need to keep in mind, and I know it's talk radio, it's conservative talk, and sometimes political radio, oftentimes, right, that we need to stay engaged in the process. Don't give up. Don't tune out. Don't get frustrated, I know, and disappointed, and just disengaged. We've got to stay engaged, and we got to stay, let these business owners locally know that we're here, we're supporting them, we got them, and spread the good news about what they're doing. And that's kind of my show goal this morning. I'm really excited to introduce to you this wonderful woman. Actually, it's really quite incredible how it works in life. And you know, I've talked to you about this many times as you listen in. Oftentimes on Mondays, Terry's in the studio with me. He's off at work early this morning at Harley-Davidson. And so I had Karen come in with me, and as I was going out and about, probably about 7 months ago, looking for treasure, that's what Terry and I do, not stuff, but people to meet, I came across Karen doing her craft and what she does so well in marketing. She was in a little business, a little boutique, and her and I said, you look so familiar, and we kind of looked at each other, and long story short, we went to high school together, and she's in my brother's class. And so, Karen, I'm so glad to have you here, and I'm going to share a little bit about your history that you'd shared with me. You know, you're born similar to me. You lived in California, and then you made your way to Oregon. You finished school here. I went to Shirley Elementary. You went to Liberty Elementary. Judson, we went to the same middle school, and then graduated from Sprague. And in this journey called life, you very much like me have had the highs and lows, right, of life, of being a mom, being a single mom, all of those things. Mm-hmm. But you're very entrepreneurial, and you and I resonate with one another because you're always looking for opportunity to help other people, to network, to get the good word out, to share their stories. And so you launched a business called Gold Star Media. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I basically found that it was an easy way for me to do what I love to do, and that was to, like just what you said, you know, discover businesses out there and be able to help them in various ways. And so I put together a publication that kind of, you know, put them all on the same boat, so to speak. So it would be my letter of reference, my, you know, my recommendation of where to go and where to eat and where to shop and that type of thing. So I feel very privileged to have, you know, all these clients in here now. Mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of showcase a few of those too. So.
Well, and what you do and what you've done for the last 15 years, really from more or less scratch, right? You've gone and connected with these businesses.
Definitely.
And you've put them in a kind of let's talk about your marketing and the kinds of things that you've done and that you do for these businesses.
Right. Well, you know, it can be anything from helping them launch a business, you know, from an idea. I mean, even if they don't have an idea, I can help them. It goes all the way from the very beginning to if they've been established for 30 years, I can potentially help them with this or that. I like to seek out things that maybe they either didn't think themselves or thought it was too difficult to get done. And then once I do that, then hopefully it works onto them wanting more. So, from business cards, flyers, signage, vehicle wraps. If they need an awning, if they need, you know, something ordered or even a new location for a business, I can hook them up with the people to go ahead and help them do that. So,
and that really is, especially during this season, I'm finding and I'm hearing from a lot of people, they've always wanted, they had that, when they got around to it, they were going to do something, you know,
right.
They always had that thing that they thought they'd want to launch or start. And one of the things I've done in my past is help people more on the coaching side, more on the paperwork side of how you go from concept to actually how do you get a business license? How do you do this? And
right.
I had a very, very close friend of mine who had this brine for jerky, and he used it for deer to try to make deer taste a little better. And they,
right.
and he launched this business. So you come alongside businesses like that. So if there's someone out there who's thinking, I have this grand idea, I don't know how to get from from my head to paper to actually launching, you'll walk them through that.
Oh,
right?
Completely. And yeah, and people that are hesitant, or put it off, I encourage them to, you know, do it, start yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's fun.
That's fantastic. Now, you have a website.
I do.
What
I
is
do.
Your website?
It's goldstarmediaonline.com.
Mm-hmm.
It has, you know, information as far as where to get the publications, where to pick them up personally, and mm-hmm. then how to subscribe for free. And then also there's a flippable digital version of the magazine online as well. So
excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And what I love about these little digital, what do you call it? A reference
book?
Well,
it's technically a booklet.
A booklet, right.
But I call it a magazine.
Magazine.
It's like a mini magazine, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's set up like a directory as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I love it because it shows you in beautiful color the different businesses, and it directs you, just like you said, to where they at, what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and even coupons.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, some discounts, definitely.
Discounts and,
mm-hmm.
and complimentary ideas to get an introduction to businesses and call them in. And being new to the area, I love these things. They're great tools to go, okay, this is where I need to go and what I need to do. And one of the things I love in life is coffee.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Who doesn't, right?
Oh, I'm a big coffee fan, and I've had friends. In fact, I had a gentleman who worked for me in a campaign years and years ago, and he had another idea, right,
mm-hmm.
of his own kind of style of roasting coffee. And I learned from him, and he was working for me, and I'm like, well, why didn't you just do it?
Yeah.
Just go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And he launched this huge and out of South Dakota wholesale business and a little. And what I learned is the roast makes the coffee shop.
Oh, the definitely. Not all coffee is the same.
It is not the same. And I learned the terminology coffee snob.
Yeah. Oh, that's I consider myself to be one for sure.
And the Pacific Northwest, here's what's so cool about living here and coming back here. Just like the fine wines. There's some incredible coffee in this mm-hmm. in this area, mm-hmm. and a lot of times I'm asked about that. And so I'm kind of excited about introducing our next
Me
guest,
too.
And we got a little bit of time left before this break, so we can do an introduction, and then we'll get into it after this next break. So
sure.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your wonderful friend here?
Well, I have to say, they've been my client for quite some time, and not only that, I can't tell you how much coffee I've drank, whether it be from their shop or in my home, you know, with their ground coffee. But it's actually Darren Teal and his son Connor Teal that own Java Crew here in Salem. They have multiple locations, so I'm very excited to have them here with me today. So,
well, excellent. Welcome, mm-hmm. Darren and Connor. Welcome to the morning show.
Thank
How
you.
Are you
Thank
doing
you.
This morning? Now, I have to ask you this.
Yes.
How many cups of coffee does it take to get you going in the morning?
Depends on the morning.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, that varies from day to day, for
uh-huh.
sure.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Oh, I have something that's called a Darren Special that I usually get at the stores. And it's kind of a secret menu item. So
okay.
Don't tell anybody.
So if I ask for it when I come through Java Crew, Darren Special, they could probably make it
Some
for me.
Some of the locations, not all the locations.
Okay. We're
yeah,
gonna, awesome.
Yeah.
We're going to continue the conversation after this, friends. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Getting behind businesses, local businesses, is so very important. That's what we do around here. We'll continue after this. Radio KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann with news that you can use to empower you, encourage you, and help you and I get active in our local community. And what a delight it is to look here at the temperature and at the KSLM studio. It's even bumped up in the last couple minutes, 60 degrees already. Oh, yay. You can take that walk and enjoy a wonderful sunshine. Get that natural vitamin D that's so essential right now to the times that we're living in. And it looks like it'll warm up to 75 today. And the next several days, it's going to remain in this, at least in the 70s, maybe approach up into the 80s, and overnight lows remaining in the mid 40s. So that's news that we can use on this Monday to start out our week. And we're continuing the conversation today. And friends, I'm already on my second cup of coffee this morning, and I brought it from home, so it's not as flavorful as the coffee I've experienced at Java Crew. And I am telling you, it truly is their little ad. I'm looking at it here in this directory, the Salem Marketplace by Gold Star Media. A beautiful tabletop magazine that has all of these featured businesses. And in here it says, Java Crew, fast, friendly, delicious, and most importantly, local.
That's right,
local. And Darren, I am so glad to have you and Connor here in the studio. Talk to us a little bit, because one of the things that I love doing at my show is getting the history, you know, from the concept to actually, and then also talk to us a little bit about the you know, mitigating this last year, which is unlike any other business year most have experienced. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Do you want me to start?
Yeah, you go ahead. You were there first. So,
so yeah, I don't think a lot of people know that Java Crew started in Salem. Mm-hmm. It's a local business. A lot of people that go through the drive-thrus sometimes assume that it's a franchise like everything else in town, or mm-hmm. not everything. There's a lot of great local coffee shops in town too, but you know, they assume it's something that's a franchise or a chain. You know, we're a local chain is what mm-hmm. we like to call ourselves. We started back in 1993. I had been up in Washington going to school for television broadcasting, mm-hmm. and during that time, I consumed a great deal of coffee. Mm. And at that time, there were very few coffee shops. As a matter of fact, they were just opening their second Starbucks.
Oh, okay.
And way before it really exploded. Mm-hmm. And so I used to spend my weekends down at Pike's Place Market and, you know, in Seattle, and mm-hmm. go into the original Starbucks down there. And it was quite interesting watching the growth of the company. But anyway, when I got back into Salem, I realized that there wasn't anything as far as good coffee. And so I started up my first shop in 1993.
Now, was that shop like a drive-through kiosk type shop?
It was in Kaiser.
Okay.
And it was a drive-through mm-hmm. exclusively. It was actually mm-hmm. a 7-foot by 7-foot kiosk in the parking lot mm-hmm. with a two-sided drive-through. So it was a pretty small building. There isn't anything that small in town now.
Right.
Everything's grown quite a bit. But of course, at that time, I had saved up a little bit of money and talked to my dad and my grandma about financing, and mm-hmm. the first thing they told me was, no one's going to pay $3 for a cup of coffee.
And so you said they're doing it up in Seattle.
You can see how that turned out. That turned out all right. So yeah.
Well, and I even think about just the normal, and again, the business development side, just having this concept and talking to like city planning and getting permitting and putting a structure. Back then, other than the Shutterbug type little photo booths, right? There really wasn't that concept, and certainly now we see food trucks and all this stuff now.
There wasn't even a plan mm-hmm. at the health department on how to handle something like that. There mm-hmm. was not, you know, there was just the beginning of maybe somebody pulling out the carts, you know, that mm-hmm. you've seen way years ago. Mm-hmm. You'd see a lot of carts that people would put food on and push them out in the, you know, into the sidewalk. So from my angle, I had to come up with a way to have a drive-through that was a mobile unit mm-hmm. that functioned well as a drive-through. So I basically built a cart that you could stand inside of,
right?
And put it in the parking lot and secured it. But it was always health department always treated it like a cart, because I could actually unplug it and push it across the parking lot if I needed to.
I love it. And so this concept that you started with, that not only were you trying to figure out how it's going to look, you had to figure out what you were going to name it as well. How did you come up with the name Java Crew?
Well, actually, this is a different story.
Mm-hmm.
I opened up as Jumpstart Java.
Okay.
That was the first one that we opened up as Jumpstart Java. And did real well from the very beginning, and we got some attention from a company in California that came up and watched us for a while, mm-hmm. there for a few days, and then they talked to us a little bit about how much would it cost for you to come down and open up one of these down in California.
Oh.
So somebody was wanting to invest and do something down in California. I told them my price, and they thought it was a little too high, and so they left. I hadn't seen them again, and then all of a sudden, Jumpstart Java was trademarked and copyrighted in California. And so when at that point, I was pretty young and green at the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Any entrepreneur out there, make sure that you get control of the name of your company right away before somebody else grabs it.
At least it was early in the game, too.
It was early in the game, and I hadn't thought about the repercussions of that. And so I was just running with my name. And so Jumpstart Java opened up down in California.
The modern day horse thief, right?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I had to come up with a new name pretty quickly. And we just rolled into the one thing that we had kind of gained a reputation for was some great people serving coffee and kind of a we felt we were kind of a crew of people giving people something good in the morning.
I love it.
And so that's where the whole crew thing came from. So Java crew.
I love the whole concept of that because it's that esprit de corps around a focused mission. And do you have a vision or a mission statement that you tell your crew?
Well, besides the one that's on the cup every day, fast, friendly, delicious. Mm-hmm. You know,
and smile. That's good. So now we're going to get ready here to go into another break. How many, Connor, locations do you have?
Currently, we have 4 locations. Mm-hmm. So we are here, Salem, Kaiser are the majority. That's where we're at right now. We're always looking for opportunities. It's one of those things where it's just, if the opportunity comes up, you got to jump on it.
That's right.
Things happen fast in business. But we are primarily here. Salem and Kaiser.
When I come back from this break, I want to talk to you a little bit about the roast and talk about, the flavors, or maybe if you have like a favorite that everybody asks for, things like that. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're talking all things business and coffee this morning. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're having a fun time today. Thank you for tuning in, friends. And I want to say thank you to the Safe Air Network for being a morning show sponsor. If you don't know about the Safe Air Network, I encourage you to go to safeairnetwork.com. There's all kinds of videos and information there on how you can make your air and your surfaces decontaminated in this season that we're living in right now, keeping everybody safe and preventative as far as who knows what's coming down the pike next. We hear a rumor of variants and things like that, and certainly here in Oregon, if you tuned in at all on Friday to some of the news, it sounds like some of the numbers are going up again, and so businesses are embracing for what could be coming again once more of a threat of a potential lockdown, and we want to do all that we can do, and here's a remedy, the Safe Air Network. Go and check it out, safeairnetwork.com. And in the studio today, we're continuing the conversation with Karen and Connor and Darren, and friends, it's so good to feature local businesses and share their story. And Darren, I am so inspired by you and Connor this morning because I do, here you are, family working in business together. And we have a lot of that in Salem. I think of several families that I've met in this last year working together. And when we think about legacy and we think about, birthing an idea that as you did, you were going to school up in the Seattle area and you were right there at ground zero of the coffee boom, and being able to bring that back to Salem and being the first in Salem and continuing the mission forward. what's neat about your story is you were sharing while we were on break that you also help other, you actually have like a wholesale, right?
Yes.
A part of it where you have flavors and individuals can get their own coffee makings. They can get their own beans from the crew and they can make, do it at home. Of course, we still want you to go through when you're on the go through the Java crew, you know, locations and get your to-go coffee. But talk to us a little bit about what kinds of things you offer through this wholesale side. Okay. Of your business.
Well, first I want to say that, customers that love our product and go through the drive-thru and get it, they can make coffee at home with our own, you know, special blend of privately roasted coffee. So that's available at every location, and they can go through and they can get whole bean or ground, whichever they prefer. So that's available at every Java Crew location.
I just want to chime in on the cost as well. It's more than reasonable.
Get closer to your microphone.
There it's
you
more
go.
Than reasonable as far as the cost goes. So whenever I go and I go to the store and I think, gosh, I'm going to go to Java Crew. At least I know it's guaranteed to be delicious.
Yeah, we just want to get the coffee out there because we know that everyone's going to the supermarket and getting their favorite.
Yeah, so replace it. Replace
national
it.
Brand. But, you know, national brand, by the time it gets on the shelf, it's been roasted for quite a while.
Well, let me ask you this, because I have this thing about putting coffee in the freezer. Is that a good thing? Does it really keep it fresh longer?
A lot of people think that, and that's not the case. Normally, what you want to do is you want to take the coffee, either ground or whole bean, and put it in something that is airtight and something that hopefully, optimally, would be something that you can't see light through, and put it in a cooler spot, like in, believe it or not, in your cabinet in the dark, it will last longer than in the freezer.
Oh, good to know. Mm-hmm. So when you ground it at home and ground these beans, you really should try to only ground, from what I understand, what you need that day to keep it fresh.
Right.
Right.
That's
because
the best way.
The overgrounding, you know, thinking, you know, being I'm just going to do a whole week's worth.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not the best way, right?
Yeah. And there's a whole lot of great consumer products now that, you know, with good grinders and good espresso machines and coffee makers it's just incredible. The industry has really grown.
So in your wholesale side, you sell the beans and what about flavors? I know a lot of people are intrigued. They like their flavors. Like I like mint.
Yeah.
And I like some fun, you know, flavors, hazelnut, things like that.
Well, again, flashback to when I first started my business, when somebody wanted to get most of the time, if you went in and got a mocha, a chocolate latte, you would be getting Hershey's chocolate syrup dessert pump syrup. Mm-hmm. And that was never made for coffee.
No.
And it's not to the quality that it needs to be for a coffee drink, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from day one, we were trying to find better products to use.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up making our own chocolate in the end. And, we had a lot, our original location was right on a main thoroughfare where there's a lot of people running every day. And, you know, Oregon has a lot of runners, a lot of athletes. And they'd stop by and they'd want to get a drink. And, you know, most of the time they were just getting lattes or something because there wasn't a lot in the way of sugar-free.
Sure.
And so we ended up taking that one step further and we started making our own sugar-free chocolates because nobody made them. I mean, if you went in and you wanted something sugar-free, back then, believe it or not, you know, the only thing I could get was Swiss Miss Instant Cocoa, you know, made for diabetics. Mm-hmm. That was it. That's all there was. So we started making our own chocolate and came up with our own formula. And pretty soon, other coffee shops that had popped up around town were asking, can we use your chocolate?
I love it.
And that was the inspiration for the beginning of our brand that's called Gosh, That's Good brand. It's a retro coffee flavoring brand.
So did I hear that right? Gosh, that's good.
Gosh, that's good.
I love it. That's great.
You know why? Because when they tried it, we weren't done creating it or formulating it until they said, gosh, that's good.
Fantastic. What a great story. What a great idea. And so, Connor, I have a couple questions for you.
Sure.
You know, all of this, every day, you're you know, pumping out the coffee into the community. Do people prefer cold or hot? Does the weather really affect that? Do you know when the logistics
you
of
would,
all of that?
You would think that it would have a greater effect. Strangely enough, there are plenty of people that will come in on a freezing cold day and get a blended drink.
Isn't that incredible?
I have found that to be so strange because I'm very much one of those people that it just fluctuates according to whatever. If it's hot out, I want cold.
That's
cold,
me too. Me too.
Funny story, when I first opened up the first one, it was a really major hurdle to get people to even try something cold because at that point, there was no people didn't think about coffee as being iced. Mm-hmm. And when you told them, you know, in the summertime, you could have that, your favorite drink, iced. It's really good. And they're like, what?
They're looking at you.
And, you know, I'm talking to a bunch of state workers, especially in Salem. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of state workers. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking about that cup of coffee that sat on their desk for too long, and they took a big slurp of it, you know. Right. That's what they're thinking of. And so it took some re-education. And we actually have, we owe a lot to Starbucks for for educating the consumers, you know, as
thank
to
you for that
on.
Help in that
oh,
area,
yeah.
right?
For yeah. sure, yeah, yeah. In fact, we make a drink. It's a blended drink. We call it the Java Frosty.
I love
and
it.
The Java Frosties moved a lot better when 2 or 3 years later, Starbucks started making a blended drink. So when they started making their Frappuccinos,
then
all of a sudden people understood,
idea.
Oh, okay, that sounds like a good idea. And they start buying more of our drinks. So
have you found in the coffee industry, I know the answer to this, but I'm wondering how it's impacted you locally. It seems like people have suddenly wanted you to infuse other things in it, you know, to make it healthier, quote unquote.
Energy.
Yeah, those kinds of things.
Functional.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. Okay. And so what's your most popular drink?
Well, as far as functional beverages go, CBD.
Okay, because you can do that here.
We can. We
can
do that here.
You can do that in South Dakota.
And then that again is a brand that we have created for us, and we sell it at all the locations. It sells like hotcakes. I mean,
so what's the advantage of that drink? Let's sell the advantage of that drink. All of your CBD.
Well, right now CBD is very, very popular, and many people believe it has medicinal effects, and so we just make it available for them.
I see. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's popular. Your popular blended drink, is it like a vanilla flavor or a chocolate flavor?
Usually mocha, because we're known for our rich classic chocolate. That's one of our first products that we produced. So.
Yeah. And Bethbuzz too is something that's a nice little additive, like you're talking about energy.
It's a flavorless energy mix in. So your favorite Irish cream latte that you get every day, you could make an energy drink tomorrow if you wanted to.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. And so, Connor, do you have complimentary food choices with your drink choices? Do you have like muffins and Rice Krispie bars or anything like that?
Right. Yeah. No, we do have we have food options. So we have bakery that we have. We keep it all fresh, arrives at our stores multiple times a week, so we always have something that's fresh and good. You know, obviously you don't want something that's been sitting there, right?
Right.
So we have that. A couple of our locations now have breakfast sandwiches, lunch options for sandwiches as well. Nice hot stuff that's really quick to prepare and
really quick,
which is good.
Yeah. So when we talked about a little bit in the intro of this show how COVID has really affected and impacted businesses, one of the things I took note of, because you're already set up to go in a sense.
Right.
A lot of the coffee places really, other than you having to modify how they do their business to keep everybody safe, they really didn't have the same effect that other businesses had. Like if you had a coffee shop where people came in too, a lot different, right? Talk to us a little bit about how you got through all of that and the kinds of changes you've had to make.
Yeah, well, obviously, big change culturally for us. Mm. And but people were still at our locations because they're built with drive-thrus. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we were able to transition pretty well. There were a few, you know, early on, there was some challenges with having barriers up to keep everybody safe and feeling safe and finding the masks, which were impossible at first to find the masks. You know, making sure that everyone was doing the right procedures to keep things clean and, you know, not reusing any containers or anything like that without, you know, without cleaning them properly. So there was a little bit of a step up, but honestly, a lot of the stuff we already had in place. So it was an easier transition for us than some other businesses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had we just been focused just on a sit-down situation, it would have been totally different.
Yeah, we were definitely lucky in a lot of ways. I think probably one of the biggest hurdles for us is, you know, when it comes to coffee is only like half of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very much about that customer experience. And that's something that's, you know, a cornerstone of our business. And so very important and kind of having to acclimate to how do you make someone feel very welcome? How do you make someone smile with you when they can't see your smile?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does that look like? And so that was one of like the biggest transitions for us is, you know, everyone kind of has to take the energy level up to 10. And I feel like that's everywhere right now too.
Yeah.
Because you're operating with half your face, so you can't communicate as well, and so that's been a hurdle with that.
Yeah, but I do think there's just a cultural disconnection.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to overcome. Yes, yeah.
Right.
It's a very challenging time, and yet I've been challenging folks to look at the silver lining. Like, what have you gleaned and learned from this, and how has this impacted your business in the silver lining way? What do you see that you're going to do different if the mask came off? And let's hope soon. You know, we do things differently in the future, and we could try to go back to what we knew before. What is something you've learned through this time?
Yeah, I think, you know, and this is in business and in personal life too, I think as much as it's been difficult during this time, it's also a time of like tremendous introspection.
Mm.
I know it really forced a lot of people to kind of slow down and evaluate things. And I think for us as a company, even like the minutia that in the day-to-day, like hustle and bustle, we might lose track of, we've had to really hyper-focus on the business, every aspect of it. Where can we improve? Where can we change things? And so when you're looking for that silver lining, that was pretty easy to find in our industry, I think, because it's just everyone that is in the game, everyone that's in business, they have to step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't stagnate during
right.
COVID. You have to be there, be present, be in front of your customers, and to continue to improve every day. And I think that's always present in business, but I think with COVID, it really pushed that to the forefront, really shone the light on it.
What I love about what you guys have done in this community, and I know you've got a special event going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a little bit of time in this next break. I want to talk about giving back to the community
yeah.
and some of the events that you have coming up, okay? You're
okay.
listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday and every day. We'll be back after this. Media and her guest today and her businesses that she promotes in her work, in her marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So proud of you, Darren and Connor and Java Crew, and just the value you've added
Thank
to
you.
Salem. Thank you so much for your hard work and determination.
We love
and,
it.
And,
yeah.
you know, I know Connor got to share a little bit about the silver lining, and you and I were talking during the break, how important you realize, just kind of an aha moment you had about the work that you do every single day. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. It was pretty obvious to this whole, you know, corona thing, and also especially when we had that ice storm and everyone
mm-hmm.
was kind of shut down and the power was out and trees were down and all that stuff. People really are looking for normalcy. They're looking for that little bit of something that's normal
mm-hmm.
every day. And we really realized what a key role small businesses in the area play
mm-hmm.
with that. You know, it's we were happy to be there and be available for those people who, you know, were out of power and needed to have that breakfast sandwich or that sandwich for lunch
mm-hmm.
and didn't have any way of having any hot food.
Yes.
You know, it just and just for the elderly population that was stuck in their house all the time.
Right.
And for them to be able to get in their car and go and have interaction with people that they know from coming in every
mm-hmm.
day and having that little bit of socializing helped a great deal, I think, and we're just happy to be around.
So not only good coffee, but hope.
Yeah.
you have a cup of hope
as well. It's an important ingredient.
I think that's really good. And you have something going on right now.
The
partner, we could partner with you. We could, as a community, not only help him by getting that good cup of coffee, either hot or cold, or snack to go along with it, but you're doing something pretty cool for the community.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so currently we are in the midst of our food drive, so canned food drive with Marion Polk Food Share.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we generally do at least once a year. It's something that's important to us, and I think think, you know, with everything going on with COVID and things being so strange, it's easy to forget that there are some problems that are persistent and actually made worse sometimes by these COVID stipulations, I suppose.
Right.
So we are taking some time to focus in on kind of the hungry in our community, trying to raise some funds and gather some food for that. So we are currently collecting cans at all of our locations. We have donation bins there that are getting picked up weekly, and we're hoping to just crush our goals on that.
I love it.
But for our customers, we are with every five canned items, and valid canned items, can't be Top Ramen or something
that.
But any five items, we are doing a free regular menu item drink.
Yay.
So a strong encouragement for that.
That's very generous.
Right.
Yes.
And then we are also collecting funds for that as well. So we're accepting cash donations. And we also have links that I believe are on our website. So if people wanted to look there, you can do cash donations there as well.
Your website is what?
Yes, our website is javacrew.com. So JAVACREW.
Now, we have a pretty large audience outside of Salem. We have people in Arkansas and Texas and South Dakota, North Dakota, Idaho, Utah listening that I'm aware of. If someone wanted to, could you do like a franchise type thing? If they wanted to talk to you, would they get a hold of you through the website about, maybe they want to start that concept somewhere else? Are you guys looking to do that in the future? Are you going to stay local here?
Well, our focus is local as far as the coffee shop goes. Mm-hmm. But we are, you know, on the other side of the business, the Gosh That's Good brand flavorings. We oftentimes help people set up their businesses.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be called our shop, but it can have all the components and training that comes from the experience that we've had in coffee shops and with the flavorings.
Well, so, that's so good to know because people are all over the country are looking at doing something a little different.
And they can order the products, too, and get it shipped to them, I would assume.
Right.
If they wanted the ground coffee or the flavorings or that type of thing.
That's something we could work out with a person if we felt we could partner with them.
So you have kind of, in the family, you kind of have, your family's entrepreneurial. You have a brother that does a little bit of business, too, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
What's his name and where's he at?
Yeah. He has Brew Coffee and Tap House. Mm-hmm. He has one location in Independence.
Okay.
And then another one in West Salem.
Awesome.
And he has done very well. And that's a little bit of a different take. He does have coffee available in the morning, but his main thrust is live music and tap house bar situation.
He's got a whole bar now, too.
So. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll have to get him in here, Karen, and talk a little bit about his story.
Oh, yeah,
but this is neat how it's running in the family and passing on to the next generation.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And how old were you? Were you even born yet when your dad started this company?
The company was started the year that I was born.
Fantastic.
So I've kind of grown up with it for sure.
Well, I have enjoyed my time with you. Karen, thank you for introducing us. Talk to us a little bit about, Gold Star Media, and this is what you do. Maybe there's somebody in business is like, how do I promote my business like this?
Right.
And kind of your plan to dig a little deeper and even add radio to that part.
Right. Well, you know, it's all encompassing, I suppose, getting your name out there. That's part of the branding that I do for people in marketing. So it's one of those things where if anyone is interested in either receiving the book as a customer and taking advantage and seeking out new places or going to visit some old, that's one thing. If there's a business that would like to be in there, I go to print every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I have one coming up first week of July. It should be releasing. So if you want to get in, get a hold of me. And then, if any other products are needed, from business cards to headshots to letterhead, I can help them with that as well. So
excellent. How about on another side, what about like candidates that need promotion and stuff? You know, could you help them with that too?
Yeah, definitely. Anybody that it isn't, you don't have to be brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, it could be anything. You know, say you need a portrait painted of your pet that passed away. Mm-hmm. I can help you artistically get that done. So trust me, there's nothing I feel like I can't help someone with. So
that's awesome. Yeah. You are a networker and you know this area so very well. We appreciate that about you, Karen.
Oh, and I appreciate you,
and
Stacey.
It's exciting to work together and find out great people here in Salem.
Right.
When we moved back here, I was so looking forward to meeting people like you and connecting and tasting your wonderful coffee. coffee. And
support local.
My experience at your Java Crew has been phenomenal. Everybody has been super friendly, exciting, glad to be there, enjoying their job. So thank you for providing that.
That's great to hear.
Great
thank you.
Service
thank
in
you.
Our community. And Karen, what's your website, Karen, again?
It's Gold Star Media Online, and then also on Facebook and Instagram. And same with Java Crew. If you want to stay updated on their events and locations and this and that, they're very,
interactive.
It's great. I mean, it's one of those things where if you are wanting to stay in touch with the business, that's the best way to do it. So.
And Facebook, too. You can find it on social media, on Facebook. And what are the hours of your coffee shop? I guess we didn't really cover that.
It does vary from location to location. Mm-hmm. So I would say the most concise way for me to answer that would be simply to go to the website.
Go to the website. Yeah. Yep. Very good. Well, I certainly appreciate meeting you. Thank you for being here today.
No, and thanks for having us.
Thank you, Karen. And friends, I want to encourage you to go get that hot or cold cup of coffee, support local, get behind them, and certainly I'm sure you have a few cans of food you can donate on your way in as you're out and about as well. And we're going to have this podcast up on a podcast this afternoon. Grab the link, share with your friends and family. And I encourage you, if you have some insight that you want to share, maybe you have a suggestion for a future interview, send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. God bless you, friends, and God bless the USA. Have a fantastic Monday. There ain't no